I'd like to establish a couple of biblical facts that we can keep in mind. Every ear needs to hear these things and keep them in mind throughout the study. The first one's going to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The second one's going to be 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And over in Ephesians 6, it says that this is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And I would tell you that every time a person gets up behind this pulpit, everything that he says concerning the Word of God should be measured by this. And anytime you hear a man speak behind any pulpit, it should be measured by this. Anytime you hear a man or a woman speak about the Word of God in any setting in life, it should be measured by this. This is the ultimate test in truth. This is the sword of the Spirit, Word of the living God. You know, about 3 days ago, me and Brother David were back in surgery prep, and we were sitting there talking to Bob. He's fixing to go back for heart surgery. So we got together there and joined hands, and we said a prayer for Bob. And when we were done, David looked over at Bob, and he said, "You know, Bob, if you don't make it through this, would you please tell the Lord to have mercy on me and Jim?" And you know, I hadn't heard Bob laugh that hard in a long time. But it got me to thinking after he went back to surgery. I was sitting there thinking about, you know, we all have these memories. You know, I remember good and bad things when I was younger. I remember chunking dirt clods at the little Swift girls there in Briscoe, and as they were driving their bikes home from school and being real pleased with myself. And 2 minutes later, Mom comes out of the door and she says, "Boy, you know, what are you doing? I don't want to hear no excuses. Just pick you a switch off the tree." But I remember her making sure that we were in church every time the doors were open. I remember my father, humble strength, and I remember him never, ever saying a negative thing about anybody. Never heard him say a negative thing about anybody. I remember sitting on that front pew and with Grandpa Red, and my ears would ring. He sang so loud in church. I remember Joe thundering from the pulpit. And these memories seem like yesterday to me, you know? And I'm sure you all have memories. No matter how many years you got under your belt, you still have memories that seem just like yesterday. James 4:13-14. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." This life that we are now experiencing in the flesh is so short compared to eternity. And we're going to see in these scriptures here that each and every person in this room is immortal. Now our flesh is going to be gone, but the true us, our souls, is going to go on forever. We're going to either experience the damnation and punishment of hell, or we're going to be in heaven. But either way, we're going to go on forever. Over there in Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd the goat divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto his angels, For I was hungered and I was a hunger, and you have gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me no prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? Then shall he answer them and say, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not one of the least of these, you did not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. That verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we're all immortal. How we live this short life determines where we spend eternity. I was talking to a dear brother of mine 2 days ago, and he travels all over the country, the world for that matter, sees all type of people, and he told me, he said, Jim, he said, you just wouldn't believe the darkness in the world. He said, you would not believe the darkness that's in the youth coming up. And he's correct. We don't see it so much out here in Wheeler, because most people are, they've got a moral base to work from. But when you get off in them bigger cities and these big population centers, there is so much darkness, it's unbelievable. And I guess you could expect nothing less, because when you look at the way the direction the world's going to, when the government mandates that, or they make it legal to certain actions are condoned by the government and that are explicitly talked about in the Bible as being sin. When you have a government that tells you that it's law that a 40 or 50 or 60 year old man can go into a bathroom that's designed for women. And I think you know where I'm going with this, because you listen to the news and you can see the way this world is going. The thing about it is there's no fence riding. Every single person is going to choose one side of the coin. You're either going to choose to follow God or you're going to choose to follow this world. And if you refuse to choose, you're still choosing. Luke 11 and 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth. So, when we take this into consideration, every single person makes a decision, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, to follow one path or another. And when we consider this, I think it's sobering, and we should take a look at both sides and see what exactly they offer. On one side, you have the flesh and the works thereof. Galatians 5:18 through 21. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty bad list right there. And that being the fruits of the flesh, and I've run across a bunch of people that, like Garland was talking about this morning, you know, they consider themselves good people, and by man's standards, they are good people. They may look out for their fellow man. They may do good works, give to charity. They may not break the law, man's law. But you must keep in mind that just because they're good in man's sight, they are, if they've not obeyed the gospel of Christ and accepted his sacrifice, then they stand in condemnation. Just like somebody that goes out and does the most heinous thing that you can imagine is in condemnation. These people are in condemnation too, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you look over in Galatians 5, verses 23 through 25, but the fruits of the Spirit, this is the other side of the coin, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you got the Spirit and the flesh. You can't walk in both. You're either going to serve the flesh and Satan, or you're going to serve God and the Spirit. And when you talk about the length of time, you're talking about, what's the average human live these days? 75, 80 years, 85 years? Eternity is unmeasurable, and it's spiritual. I'll take a look real quick, and these, over in Ephesians 6, and it's a quick overview of the armor of God, and the armor of God itself, to do it justice, you would probably have to do two or three studies. But I'm going to run over this real quick. There it is. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Now these are gifts that God affords us and actually commands us to don the armor. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth. Now, we see right here that your loins are girded up by truth. Now, I'm going to go back one scripture here. We're talking about the devil here. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was the murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what does God offer? He offers the belt of truth. What does Satan offer? Lies. Continue on there. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. What does Satan offer? Unrighteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does Satan offer? Illusion and lies. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He offers us faith. The devil offers us unbelief. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He offers us a helmet of salvation. The devil offers us condemnation. He offers us the sword of the Spirit, the word of the living God. Satan offers us the weapons of the flesh and lies. Now, taking a look at this, why would anybody in their right mind choose Satan, the works of the flesh, and this temporal life over God, the fruits of the Spirit, and eternal life? On one hand, you've got a fallen angel that rebelled against his loving creator, was cast down to earth, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He promises you one thing, but it turns out to be another. You suffer all the fruits of the flesh. And in the end, you suffer eternal damnation. Why would you pick that over the Son of God, who came down to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived the perfect life as a man, healed the sick, performed miracles, lived in poverty, and last and most important of all, hung upon a cross, shed his blood, died so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer for what we do? I mean, it's unfathomable. Why would somebody pick the evil side of the coin. Why would they pick darkness over the Son of God who gave his life for me and you? Right offhand, I can think of a few reasons. One, unbelief. 2 Timothy 3:13, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some people are led away by false teachers. You know, like Garland was talking about this morning, in the church today, there's so many things that are taught that are not even basically, they don't even have the basic tenets of salvation. They say, well, just call on the name of the Lord. Just say this prayer of faith and you're saved. You're all good. You're straight in there. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I tell you, you don't need to be baptized. I mean, it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing, but really it's just a show of faith. If you want to do it, more power to you. You're showing us you're faithful, but you don't need it. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ain't much gray area there, is there? The last reason that I can think of right offhand that I've heard voiced to me personally is because people believe that there's a God, and they believe that the Son of God came down and died and shed his blood, but they're so guilty and ashamed, they're unworthy. They feel like they're unworthy, and they won't come forward. They won't take the simple step of accepting the gift that Jesus Christ gave, his shed blood, because they feel unworthy. To those that feel this way, if there's any present, a little secret for you. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody in here worthy. The only thing that makes us worthy is the blood of Christ, and we accepted his sacrifice in our stead. We accepted it. Without that, ain't none of us worthy. Now, I don't know the hearts and the minds of the people here tonight, but if there's a person here that has never heard the fact that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us and shed his blood, and they've never been baptized, it's time to come forward. It's time to take care of that. And the brothers here, they got water prepared back here. and we'd be glad to assist you with that. If there's anybody here that was baptized for any other reason, if you were baptized because you wanted to join a social group, if you were baptized because you thought that's what mama and daddy wanted you to do, if you were baptized because that's what your best friend did, if you were baptized because you wanted to feel accepted, you ain't baptized. You was dunked in the water. You didn't do nothing but take a bath. Ain't but one reason that we're baptized, and that's for the remission of our sins. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, we urge you to come forward.